Welcome to the Steele Report with Victoria Steele, an insider's take on the latest news, politics, and current events. A week in review of the hottest topics with newsmaker interviews. The views heard here are those of Victoria and her guests, not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors, though she really wishes they were. Now, here's Victoria.
And good Saturday morning. How are you today? We welcome back to the Steele Report. I am your host, Victoria Steele. And today, my guest will be journalist Larry Bodine. We've got a lot of things to be talking about. We're going to start out with just mentioning on a sad note that former President George H.W. Bush died last night at the age of 94. Rest in peace, President Bush. Tomorrow is the start of Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah. And we are also going to be talking about what's going on in Congress, a top new priority for the new Democratic Congress. It's the bill that they have dubbed H.R. 1 for the people. It's a bill on political reform. We're also going to do some gossiping about who might be the one to get the nod for Senator McCain's seat in the U.S. Senate. Interior Secretary Zinke came out and attacked Raul Grijalva, Congressman Grijalva, and might not have been his smartest move, considering that he's about to be Zinke's boss. And that blue wave just keeps on going. Yeah, here's my rant for today. I started last week doing this monologue at the beginning of the show. So my rant for today is about somebody that I may be serving with in the state legislature. State representative who made headlines back in June. Now, I'm going to be giving you most of this is from news reports. Different pieces from different news reports, including HuffPost and Phoenix New Times and such. But so a state representative who made headlines last June after saying that immigration means there aren't enough white kids to go around, well, he's back. Republican state lawmaker David Stringer of Prescott, well known for his past racist comments, apparently wants you to know that, yep, he's still here and he's still a racist. Republican State House Representative David Stringer of Prescott, Arizona, was captured on audio calling non-native English-speaking students a burden, saying black people don't blend in, and lamenting a supposed white flight in more diverse areas of the country. The audio was of Stringer speaking with ASU students after a lecture. After telling a student that diversity in this country is relatively new, an ASU student challenged him on that, saying, well, there was early immigration from places like Ireland and Italy. In the audio, Stringer responded to the student, saying, they were all Europeans. So after their second or third generation, everyone looks the same. Everyone talks the same. That's not the case with African Americans and other racial groups because they don't melt in. They don't blend. They always look different. End quotes. It's really hard for me to read that quote. In the audio, he can also be heard saying that non-native English-speaking students, are a burden. And he also said he compared Somali Americans with Polish Americans, saying they don't look like every other kid. Well, of course they don't look like every other kid. Those who have followed Stringer's previous comments were probably not surprised by his latest remarks. Back in June, he made headlines after speaking at a men's Republican group where he said immigration represents an existential threat to the country. 60% of public, and this is his quote, 60% of public school children in the state of Arizona today are minorities. That complicates racial integration because there aren't enough white kids to go around. After that, Governor Ducey called for him to resign back in June for those comments. The governor said, I don't think there's any place for that kind of commentary in the public square, and he's basically disqualified himself to lead at the state level. Instead, Stringer was reelected last month to office in Prescott. After the audio of his most recent comments was released yesterday, Stringer has announced that he has resigned his chairmanship of a committee. House Speaker-elect Rusty Bowers asked Stringer to resign from chairmanship of the House Sentencing Committee on Friday afternoon, and the Republican from Prescott accepted. Representative Stringer's comments, this is Rusty Bowers saying this, are vile and will not be tolerated. His remarks don't reflect the sentiments of the Arizona State Legislature, the constituents we represent, and the policies we enact. Given the diversity of my own family, I take personal offense to these comments. These comments render him incapable of performing his duties as chair, Bowers' statement continued. On top of losing his chairmanship, Stringer has been removed from the sentencing committee altogether. So here are my thoughts on this. Diversity is what makes us strong and beautiful. Our uniqueness makes us an incredibly strong and beautiful society. Why is it that someone, anyone, would fear someone simply because they look different, or they have a different culture, or their skin color is different from theirs? How could you look at somebody else and say, this person is less than me and less deserving? This type of behavior should never, ever be tolerated from our leaders. You see, when you are a member of the state legislature, you are given the title of honorable. Representative Stringer's behavior and his vulgar comments have brought dishonor to the entire Arizona legislature. I do not want to serve with him when I start next month. Representative Stringer should not only have his committee chairmanship removed, he should be removed from his position as a lawmaker. I am calling for his immediate resignation. Should he refuse or hesitate to resign, he should be publicly removed from office. And that's all I care to say on that topic. Let me introduce you today to my guest. This is journalist and attorney Larry Bodine. Welcome, Larry.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here, Victoria.
Thank you. And I should mention, friend. Larry enjoys being politically active. He is, like I said, a journalist, an attorney. He attends many lively political events, and he reports on them for the Blog for Arizona. So he's a blogger now. His 45-year career is amazing. It includes writing for the New York Daily News, where he won seven awards for investigative journalism while covering numerous beats for the New York Daily News, which was also the largest circulation U.S. newspaper at that time. Larry, I'm so glad you're joining us today. We've got so much to talk about.
It's a treat to be here. I've been looking forward to being on this show.
I'm glad you're here. Let's start out with this new top priority for the new Democratic Congress. It's a bill called H.R. 1 for the People. It's a bill that's all about political reform. Apparently, the Democrats think they have a mandate.
Well, I would certainly say they do. The the blue wave just keeps getting bigger and bigger,
yes,
Victoria.
The
Democrats picked up their 40th seat in the House just within the last 24 hours when
T.J. Cox.
Yeah, that's right, T.J. Cox from the 21st District in California, which is kind of farm country between Fresno and Bakerville.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In any event, he was elected, so he becomes number 40 that the Democrats have picked up. And should anybody doubt that there was a blue wave, you just have to look at the number of votes. So 111 million votes were cast. 53% of those were for Democrats. Democrats won the political vote by 8.8 million votes, which is an increase over the general election just 2 years ago when the Democratic presidential candidate won by 3 million votes. So not only is there a blue wave, but it's getting bigger and it's extending longer and longer.
And the current president did not get the popular vote.
That's right. So I see, the tide turning. You know, in my own activities as a precinct committee man, I would go to the meetings, and I've never seen so many people turn out, you know, mm-hmm. so much energy. I would go to my own Legislative District 9 committee person meeting, which before 2016 were maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 people. It was sort of a social event for a lot of people. Now they had to find a bigger location. There's over 100 people. It's standing room only.
And it's amazing.
Everybody's fired up.
I'm at those meetings too, and I love them. I have never seen that many people at any of those meetings. I've never seen such an energy in those meetings. But when I walked door to door, and thank you, Larry, you walked with me.
That's
and
right.
You always walk with me. Every election, you just do this. This is amazing. And it was incredible what we saw. Well, listen, we got to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about H.R. 1 for the people right after this. Welcome back to the Steele Report. I'm your host, Victoria Steele, with our guest today, journalist and attorney Larry Bodine. Larry, we are going to be talking about H.R. 1 for the people. Now, H.R. 1, why do you think that Congress named that H.R. 1 for the people?
Well, H.R. 1 is a symbolic number. It sort of it demonstrates that we're going to get down to work, and this is the first thing we're going to do.
And this is our biggest priority.
Yes, that's right. And there are at least seven issues that the Democrats want to address. And the idea is basically after a couple of years of having environmental regulations rolled back and, disgraced cabinet members having to resign and just the chaos in the White House, that now the Democrats want to rescue our broken democracy. And it's really inspiring now to see people to see legislation be introduced that's going to make the country a better place. Mm-hmm. So issue number one is to lower health care costs because, as you probably know, prescription costs are just like they're out of control.
They are huge.
And, you know, it's time to stop sabotaging Obamacare and start fixing it. Mm-hmm. Second point is fixing the U.S. Infrastructure. We're talking about roads. You know, we've had bridges collapse with cars traveling across them.
Water systems.
Yeah. I mean, the list goes on.
Things like broadband and wireless communications, that system as well.
Yeah, that's really important because there are a lot of rural areas mm-hmm. that basically don't have any Internet access.
Right.
You can't get a cell phone signal. And so it's time to, you know, basically let's wire up the whole country.
Let's do it.
Third point is increasing the minimum wage. There's just more and more people that are working, but they're working, you know, one, two, three jobs just to meet the household expenses.
In this day and age, you should not be working 40 hours a week and not be able to put food on the table or a roof over your head.
That's absolutely right. The next point is to end dirty money, finally. This would be to trim back on the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, where they said corporations are people, and they have freedom of speech, which they can express by depositing money secretly into campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
So H.R. 1 will force disclosure of any corporate donations to a political campaign and end dark money.
Oh, that would be so nice. Another thing that they have is they want to pass the DREAM Act for DACA recipients.
Well, that's long overdue. I mean, that should have been done years ago. I think it was first introduced over 10 years mm-hmm. ago.
Now, this H.R. 1 for the people it's still evolving. It's still being formulated, right?
That's right. What we're discussing right now is what Nancy Pelosi has announced is mm-hmm. going to be on the Democratic agenda. She was just reelected to the Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
She won by 202 to 32 votes, so that's a pretty solid majority.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it really refreshing to see the party come forth and just say, well, let's really do things that are going to improve the health and wages and livelihood.
And I want to talk about one of the biggest health issues that our country faces. It is an epidemic, and that is the epidemic of gun violence. And this bill will also address prevention of gun violence.
And I think that's long overdue. You know, we all know the thoughts and prayers really don't change anything. And
they just don't cut it.
You know, and a good illustration is when there was some, I guess, polluted cabbage, you know, lettuce.
Lettuce.
Yeah. Well, the CDC came right out and said, don't buy it. If you have it, throw it away, you know. And as far as I know, it succeeded. Nobody was sick or injured from it.
But yet, people got sick initially,
yes,
and they acted immediately.
Well, and contrast that with the fact that guns are available pretty much 24 hours a day at a Walmart. And here in Arizona, all you need to do is produce a driver's license. There's no background check. Anybody can get a gun.
Well, another thing that this bill would do is strengthen the voting rights with automatic voter registration and allowing people to register to vote clear up to Election Day.
Yeah, I mean, it's time that we made it easier to vote in this country. You know, you should, when you get a driver's license, you should be registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to go to the polling place, or, you know, right up to Election Day and register and vote. You know, there's just no reason to make it harder to vote.
That's right. That's right. So what else does this, is there more that's in this bill?
Well, there's one other thing I think that's worth mentioning, and the bill will aim to confront discrimination with something called the Equality Act. And the chief effect of that is that it would prohibit discrimination on sexual orientation and gender identity. So the LGBTQ community would finally get some protection.
I think that is necessary. And we can see with recent moves made by our current administration to discriminate. These policies that they're talking about are discriminatory, and they want to roll them back, protections for women and protections for gay and transgender and bisexual people. This is just not good. This is not good. So everything that you have talked about in this bill that Congress is putting in, this H.R. 1 for the people bill, this is what they ran on. Everything in here is wonderful. This is what Democrats ran on, and then we got the mandate.
That's right.
We got 40 new members of Congress that are Democrats.
That's right. I mean, the American public really sent a message to to Washington that, you know, we want measures that protect people, that this is an inspiring collection of goals.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. Well, so what is your personal favorite out of these? I mean, what stands out the most to you as long overdue, absolutely have to have this?
Well,
this
for
is
me,
a big thing.
Yeah.
This is like political reform.
That's exactly right. It's basically fixing our broken democracy. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, for me, the biggest issue is ending dark money. You know, it's ridiculous to have corporate powers that have multiple millions of dollars run the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what we see as a result of that is, like at the Food and Drug Administration, it's led and staffed by people from the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just been this endless placing of foxes, you know, in the hen house.
Right.
So,
and not only that, when people are running for office, particularly a federal office, it becomes about who can raise the most money, not who is the best candidate.
I agree. And, you know, everyone I've spoken to says it shouldn't be about money. I mean,
right.
So for here in Arizona, you know, we have the Clean Elections Candidate provision,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is an excellent start.
And I ran as a clean elections candidate in my last campaign.
That's why I mentioned it. You know, but, you know, there's no reason that there should be secret money in our elections. It's just, this should all be disclosed. It should be all in the public. You know, people are running for public office. The donation should be public, too.
One of the things that I like about this bill is that it would ban the use of taxpayer money to pay for congressional sexual harassment settlements.
Yeah.
I think that's an important thing. Also, they're looking at addressing gerrymandering. That is the setting up of districts, legislative districts. And that's done in Arizona by the legislature. And that is happening. And, that's a big one. Pay attention. It sounds, redistricting sounds weird. It doesn't sound sexy, but I cannot tell you how incredibly important it is. Well, we are going to be talking a little bit more about this. We're going to go on to some other things about maybe who we think might get Senator John McCain's seat in the U.S. Senate. And we will be talking about Interior Secretary and how he came out and attacked a congressman who is about to become his boss, which is not his smartest move. We'll be right back with more of The Steele Report, right after this. And we're back again. I'm your host, Victoria Steele. This is The Steele Report. I am visiting with Larry Bodine, journalist and attorney, and we are talking about all sorts of political things, all sorts of policy ideas, and, that's my thing. I love to talk about policy. I am what you call a wonk, a policy wonk. I will easily get into the weeds with you. But, Larry, you've been around and you've seen a lot over the years. You were a reporter for 45 years, worked for the New York Daily News, got 7 awards for investigative journalism. Have you ever seen a time like this?
No. This is
not even Watergate.
Well, Watergate was really scary. I remember that when I was a lot younger, but there was never this just sort of giving away the government to corporate interests and demeaning and insulting people.
Right.
And Victoria, if I may just digress, there's something I noticed, and you've changed your hairstyle. You've cut it short. It looks absolutely smashing and modern.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly modern, Millie. This short little hairstyle. I mean, it's really short, and it's quite a change. And people will be shocked. And people always look at me sort of like, "Who are you?"
Oh, I recognized you right away, and I just thought, "This is great. You look terrific."
Thank you. It brings out, and this was not what I expected when I decided to do this. I thought maybe it would look more professional, more befitting of a state senator. I don't know what I was thinking, but I wanted to do it. I really wanted to change things up. So I cut my hair and I look in the mirror and I see that I am that 7-year-old girl.
I'm
that 8-year-old girl. And I have such hope and I have such wonderful expectation that life is good, that people are good, and that we are going to make good things happen, and I'm spunky, and I don't take no for an answer, and I'm a pain in the butt to my mom and dad.
But you're also a good daughter. I know you take very good care of your mother.
Well, I try. My mom and dad are listen. They're listening now. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Anyway, they have always been there for me. It's my turn. And that's what we do. That is what we do. But listen, you had mentioned yesterday, and it was something that I really wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke has really stuck his foot in it this time.
Yeah, I mean, we have Zinke to thank for, reducing the national parks in this country. I mean, he's just a corporate tool, and he actually went out on Twitter in a carbon copy of what Trump does, and started calling Raul Grijalva names, insulted him, you know, basically claimed that Grijalva was a drunk. You know, it's I really don't know, want to read the tweet, because it would just be, you know, reiterating, you know, a stupid, cheap insult.
Yeah, it's gutter language talk. And it's ridiculous. I can't believe that he would put something like this on Twitter. I mean, this, but then you look at who he's modeling his behavior after.
Yeah.
And there you have it. But well, he slammed Raul Grijalva, Congressman Grijalva, is the top Democrat on the House Natural Resources Committee. And this week, Congressman Grijalva, who is going to become the chairman of that committee, essentially being Ryan Zinke's boss over at the Interior Secretary, he slammed him. That's crazy. But earlier this week, Grijalva had called for Zinke's resignation because of all of his ethical. He's gotten into so much hot water. I mean, here's just one of so many ethical challenges for this man. U.S. Department of Interior spent $139,000 to fix the doors in Ryan Zinke's office. The price is more than double the median U.S. household income.
That's ridiculous.
$139,000 to fix doors in his office. He takes his wife along on business trips that, you know, for you know, government business, and they you know, fly in style, and the taxpayers are paying for that.
That's right. So, you know, when I see a cheap lowlife like Zinke, you know, insult Raul Grijalva, who's been in office for 15 years.
Yes.
You know, he is one of the most reliable Democratic votes. He's, you know, compared to Zinke, who is just some sort of a cheap flash in the pan who's going to vanish in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So Grijalva basically said Ryan Zinke needs to resign immediately as Secretary of the Interior. And Grijalva said, federal agencies cannot function without credible leadership, and Zinke offers none.
That's right. And environmental groups, of course, love this because they are opposed to Zinke's policies. They pounced on Zinke's slam at the lawmaker. And they said the Sierra Club tweeted out, delete your account and resign on Twitter. To Zinke. I thought that was pretty good.
The one good thing that comes out about this, and I'm a Sierra Club member and donor, is that it's just going to attract more donations and more memberships in the Sierra Club because, you know, Americans enjoy the outdoors. We value our national parks.
We do.
You know, and we don't want some guy like Zinke just ruining the outdoors for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, he has done so many questionable things. He's got ties. Zinke's got ties to a land deal in Whitefish that also involves the chairman of Halliburton, a major oil services company. He is in the pocket of the fossil fuel industry. This is the man who's supposed to be protecting our interior, protecting our environment, our national parks, and he is doing things that hurt them, that shrink our national monuments in Mexico. There's one that it's being looked into because they think that he improperly shrunk a national monument in New Mexico to benefit a Republican lawmaker. That report has not been fully released yet, but it's really there are a lot of things that he's in, and of course there's the justifying his taxpayer funded trips with his wife.
Oh, that's just graft.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. He has decided to, you know, fight back in Trumpian style, going after the congressman who has called for his resignation. And you know, that's not the smartest thing that he could do. It's just that's kind of dumb because this guy, Congressman Grijalva, is going to be Zinke's boss.
Yeah. I just wonder why the Republicans can't be more like Teddy Roosevelt, who was a Republican, a historical figure that I admire the most. He created he set aside the land that would become the natural park system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he emphasized the word conserve in conservatism, in other words, protecting, you know, the natural beauty that everybody likes in this. And that's what Grijalva is going to do. I'm really glad to see he's head of the natural going to be the head of the Natural Resources Committee, because that's where Grijalva is coming from.
Oh, yeah. He has done so much in his career to protect our environment, to protect the sovereignty of Native American tribes and nations. And he's just done so much. You know, he was asked, Congressman Grijalva was asked recently, you know, what do you think, as you assume the chairmanship of this committee, the Interior Committee, what do you think that you're going to do differently? And he's, Grijalva, and I'm going to read, you know, basically what he said. He said, we have an opportunity to take this committee and its priorities and policies and legislative initiatives and steer it in a different direction. Under our jurisdiction, we have issues that have to be dealt with, like tribal sovereignty, education, healthcare, historical and cultural resource preservation. Another issue is climate change. It touches every issue that we deal with. And the fossil fuel extraction industries are making a rush for the resources in our public land. That's true. And Ryan Zinke is their leader. He should be protecting our natural resources, but he's leading the fight for the fossil fuel industry.
Yeah, well, he's a perfect example of how dark money works. You know, it elected a president, and he appoints somebody who basically represents the corporate interests that, you know, funded the campaign. I mean, there's drilling now in the Arctic Natural Preserve. The Bears Ears Monument was shrunk in size, and this is all a disgrace. It's going in the wrong direction.
It certainly is. And the possibility that this could open up more uranium mining
in the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm. Which, if that gets into our water...
Oh, we're all dead.
Yeah, there's a word for that.
Yeah.
But I can't say it. It's one of those seven dirty words that you can't say here. Listen, I wanted to read a tweet to you from our POTUS. He writes... Arrived in Argentina! Exclamation point. First time that any U.S. president has visited! Exclamation point. They love me here! Exclamation point. By the way, the word here is spelled H-E-A-R. just saying. Okay, and then he says, I've never been to Africa. This is so exciting. He's in Argentina. He says, I've never been to Africa.
Never been to Africa.
So it's very exciting. Exclamation points. But he's not done. Then he has, in all caps and more exclamation points, big crowds. Haven't seen them yet since I'm in the bathroom.
What?
I know. This seriously, this is how I woke
bathroom.
Up this morning. Bush and Obama had small crowds when they visited, exclamation point. Done with the bathroom. Gotta go.
Too much information.
No kidding. All right, we'll be back with more of the Steele Report right after this. And we are back for the final segment of the Steele Report. My guest today is attorney and journalist Larry Bodine, who worked for about 45 years as a reporter, and his work included as an award-winning investigative journalist for the New York Daily News. It was the biggest, largest circulation U.S. newspaper at the time, and that's a pretty impressive career you've had.
Well, thanks a lot. People can read my work right now on the blog for Arizona.
Ah, yes.
You know, I like to get out to local political events, find out what's happening right here in Tucson, right here in Arizona, just because, you know, that's where I think people can really make a difference if they're informed. But Victoria, before we go any further, I just have to hear you read that tweet again from President Trump, straight from the bathroom to Twitter.
I know. I couldn't believe it. I woke up, got out of bed, grabbed my phone, which is sort of, you know, I mean, there's this bad habit that I now do, and I look on Twitter to see what's going on, and it's like, oh, the first thing I see is President Donald Trump's tweet at Real Donald. And it says, arrived in Argentina, exclamation point. First time that any U.S. president has visited, exclamation point. They love me here. Here is spelled H-E-A-R, another exclamation point. I've never been to Africa. It's so very exciting. Big crowds. He's in Argentina. Does he know? He doesn't know that. Okay. Big crowds, all in capital letters, and another exclamation point. Haven't seen them yet since I'm still in the bathroom. Bush and Obama had small crowds.
Oh, my God.
When they visited. Done with the bathroom? Gotta go. Now, you know, I just noticed something. And I don't know for sure that this is actually the president, but it's kind of like the Onion where, you know, we believe these things because it could be real. I've got to say, I just now noticed this. It says at Real Donald TR fan. So that might not be him because I think his handle on Twitter is actually at Real Donald.
Yeah. That's right.
It might not be him.
But this is so convincingly true. I mean, it just sort of illustrates
the way
Trump's
he does
ignorance of the world.
Yeah, and he's the same one who accused Africa of being S-hole countries.
Right, and here's a message straight from the S-hole.
Yeah. Okay, we're not going there anymore. Okay, no bad words here on the show. All right, gossip. Time for some gossip. So who do you think, Larry Bodine, who do you think is going to get Senator John McCain's seat in the U.S. Senate?
Well, it's turning out to be very interesting. We have three bad pennies to choose from. One is...
It has to be a Republican.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
It has to be a Republican. They would be... So the idea is that John Kyle was only appointed as a placeholder. And he's basically said he's only going to serve to the end of the year. And then after that, Doug Ducey can appoint the replacement.
Now, he could appoint himself.
That's not going to happen, you know.
And why is that not going to happen?
Well, that's because we have Katie Hobbs as a secretary.
A Democrat.
That's right.
Who would step into the gubernatorial seat.
Right. She's the Secretary of State, which in the event of an absence in the governor's office would become our new governor.
Ain't no way he's going to let that happen.
No. And, you know, so I think the Koch brothers are probably going to let him baste a little bit longer in the oven and see if they can't polish him up to become a presidential candidate. But that'll
happen. So you think you're pretty sure that Ducey's going to run for president?
Well, governors are a good option to turn to for presidential candidates. Mm-hmm. They tend to get elected a lot more than legislators. George Will speculated that he was going to be a presidential candidate. And certainly the Koch brothers have invested millions and millions of dollars in this guy. And, they want to see a payoff.
Well, with regard to McCain's seat, there were some things that happened. There was a little activity around that this week that added fuel to the speculation. Kirk Adams has been wasn't he the Senate president in the legislature at one point? Now he's been the governor's chief of staff, and he resigned this week. So, and they put in Scarpinato, I can't remember his name.
Scarpinato.
They put him into Kirk Adams' seat. We don't have any official reason for why Kirk Adams resigned, do we? Bless you.
Pardon me, I'm hailing dust or something here.
We've got some construction going on here. We're creating new studios.
I saw that. Yeah, it's going to be.
They are going to be so amazing.
Yeah,
so
it's
awesome.
It's going to be fabulous.
All right, but anyway, back to Kirk Adams.
So Kirk Adams was the guy who would journey to the Koch meetings and basically find out what the policies were that the Koch brothers wanted. And so he basically would come back and tell Ducey, well, you know, these are the points, these are the issues that you pursue. He was the paymaster for the Koch brothers. You know, back in the day, he would was the guy who would distribute the money to local races. And Kirk Adams famously was fined $1 million by the California Fair Political Practices Commission for all of his double dealing with a couple of front organizations with that were funded by the Koch brothers. And don't really know why he's leaving. You know, you can't explain why a swamp creature leaves the swamp, but
right.
Presumably he's off to bigger and better things. And
there is speculation, though.
Yeah. Oh, there is speculation. Our mutual friend Steve McFarley has been predicting that Kirk Adams would be the nominee for the U.S. Senate.
Steve McFarley? Steve Farley.
Steve Farley.
Somebody else that's being considered, or that we think is being considered. Again, this is just gossip. Bill Montgomery. He is the Maricopa County Attorney, and there's news around that because he was recommended by a state Supreme Court Justice Clint Bullock. Is that normal?
No, that's a clear-cut conflict of interest and violation of judicial ethics.
Hmm.
So Clint Bullock is on the state Supreme Court. He's a tool of the Goldwater Institute.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a political operative, really should have never been on the court. And so he goes...
Appointed by Ducey.
Yeah, yeah. So he goes on his phone and sends Ducey a text, you know, talking up, oh, you know, this guy, Bill Montgomery, would be great. He's respected by everybody. He's supported by all parts of the GOP, yet he's unfailingly conservative. And I go, wait a minute. What if Governor Ducey has a case in his official capacity before the state Supreme Court? Well, we clearly know how Bullock is going to vote on that. I mean,
right.
He's texting to his buddy Doug Ducey, and he's going to rule in favor of Doug Ducey.
Right. And then we have Martha McSally has been has she sort of fallen out of favor because or does she get the big consolation prize?
Well, that's it. It's sort of viewed that, well, since she didn't get elected, and a matter of fact, she didn't have the support of her own constituents back here in Pima County, where she was the congressperson.
Yeah, because we're all wise to her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and not only are we wise to her, that, you know, she never showed up. She was a total no-show.
Right.
She never came for any public forums. She never.
Just one.
Well, yeah, there was a public forum scheduled here in Tucson, and so instead she went, I think, to Sierra Vista and went to her own manufactured town hall at
tightly
the same
controlled.
Time at the same date. So that raises the issue, well, if the Senate seat is just a consolation prize, what about Leah Marquez Peterson?
Mm-hmm.
She was a congresswoman or seeking to be congresswoman here.
Why wouldn't we give her
the
nod?
Yeah, as long as we're giving out, you know, sops for people who have lost races.
Yeah. Well, and at one point I heard that Grant Woods, former attorney general, was being considered. But he just recently became a Democrat.
Yeah.
So that ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Well, one interesting thing about Martha McSally is her office came out with a 4-page memo explaining why she lost, all the unfair reasons that the mm-hmm. people didn't vote for her. And one of them, of course, is that it was George Soros' fault, you know, that he donated.
He's blamed for everything.
Yeah, I know. And that also it was her rival Kelly Ward's fault for running against her in the primary.
Yes.
But there's a terrific article in the...
Wasn't Joe Arpaio's fault?
Well, I guess not, because Joe Arpaio just came in last by a big margin.
Thank goodness.
You know, and the real reasons were that, you know, Martha McSally's a chameleon. You know, She was neutral on Trump, but then when it came to running for office, all of a sudden she's a big fan of Trump. She cozies up to him, has Trump come to Arizona.
When I ran against Martha McSally for the congressional seat a couple years ago, everybody said, Martha's doing a pretty good job. She's pretty moderate. She's not.
No.
She's really not. She was just, she absolutely did what she was told. She was a tool for the GOP, and particularly Trump. When it came to Trump, she didn't fight him on anything. Listen, Larry, tell us how listeners, again, can contact you at the blog.
Go to the blog for Arizona. You can just simply Google it. You'll find all sorts of articles about local politics, national politics.
All right. Good. Thank you, Larry. I'd also like to thank our sponsors on the Steele Report, the Glue Factory, and the Pima County Democratic Party. To inquire about being a guest or a sponsor of the Steele Report, email us at info@victoria-steele.com. Thanks for joining us today. We will see you again next Saturday for another episode of the Steele Report, and happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Steele Report with Victoria Steele. The opinions heard here were as promised, those of the host and guests, not those of KVOI or its sponsors. For more information, look at victoria-steele.com. That's victoria-steele, S-T-E-E-L-e.com.